Let's just a quick word of prayer. Lord, we just invite you to be at the center as we've been singing. We ask you to be at the center of everything I talk about this evening. And Lord, we invite you to dwell amongst your people tonight. But Lord, not in a passive way, in a proactive way. And Lord, we ask that you really minister by the power of your Holy Spirit amongst us, that we would know your presence with us. But Lord, in some way later, that we would experience your presence with us. Not for, as we've been singing, not for our sake, but for your sake, Lord. For the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of your glory. Amen. Tonight we're looking at a really interesting passage. We're looking at the story of the blind man, stroke man, calling out to Jesus as he walks by, as he's either arriving or leaving Jericho. And it's a fascinating story. There's quite a few blind men are healed in the Bible. This is one that all three Gospels relate, a story that they all relate. But they all relate it slightly differently, which is very interesting. You know, Matthew has Jesus leaving Jericho and there being two blind men. Mark has it that he's leaving Jericho and there's only one blind man and his name's Bartimaeus. Luke has it that he's arriving at Jericho and there's only one blind man. So they never quite account for it all in the same way. But some people always hold that card up and say, here's a reason why the Bible's false. It's really interesting that historians hold that up. People who don't have a faith in God, they hold that up as a very good reason to believe the Bible. Because when you're talking about real accounts of what actually happened, no two stories will ever be the same. And the fact that there's all these wee discrepancies about really insignificant things at the end of the day, they're not about important things. They're not about, you know, did Jesus rise from the dead or did Jesus not rise from the dead? Those things they're all certain about. But it's just the wee side parts that are really, they don't add anything to the story. But it's those differences that actually make the Bible even more appealing as an accurate historic account of the life of Jesus. Anyway, that was just a wee bit for nothing. So the inconsistency, if anyone ever holds up inconsistency as a negative feature of the Bible, you point out to them that it's actually a positive feature of the Bible. Okay, I'm going to choose to read from Matthew's account of the story. Because here we have the two blind men, and I wouldn't like to leave anyone out. And I thought I'd take the account where there's two of them. So we're reading Matthew chapter 20, if you've got a Bible, and we're reading from verse 29. So as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. It's a very brief story. But it's a wonderful story at the same time, and one that again that brings me back many years, remembering it from Sunday school, and another encouragement to all the Sunday school helpers and teachers, and I remember it from Steph. It always reminds me of Steph's grandpa because he told me a great story about it, and so it has a lot of really nice memories for me. But I'm sure nothing compared to what these two blind, the memories it had for these two blind men. Wonderful story of God's healing power. And it was amazing, as I was sitting preparing this sermon, I was thinking about it, you know, it'd be wonderful to see the blind healed. And it's wonderful, isn't it, Rita, to see the blind healed. And then it just dawned on me, I'm going deaf. It's funny, I've never had prayer for going deaf. And we sort of, there's lots of things. Okay, I'm deaf. You see, I've no idea what she said. But it's funny how we think of some things to bring to the Lord for healing and other things that we don't. So something that you know, we just maybe even consider part of us, like these blind men. It was part of their lives to be blind, and they were beside the road because they were begging. And it'd be very easy for them just to get settled there and really not contemplate a life without their blindness. And yet, thankfully for these men, they didn't. They saw their opportunity. They heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and they had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't know him, but they had heard of him. And when they found out, they were not going to be put down. See, that's when they first shouted out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us," the crowd was saying, "Quiet, quiet." You know, they were probably thinking you were just beggars. Jesus isn't going to be interested in you. Or they were saying, you know, we've got more important things to hear about. Jesus is maybe going to start one of his really good sermons here. We don't want to be sidetracked. Or we've got important people here who need to see Jesus. But you see, when they were told to be quiet, it encouraged them to, it intensified. They started shouting all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." They were not going to miss their opportunity to meet with Jesus. And then Jesus speaks, and it's great when Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they just simply reply, "We want our sight. We want to be able to see." And you know, when we consider all the blind men that are healed, the blind men that is recorded for us that are healed throughout the Bible, throughout the life of Jesus, it's probably accounts for the greatest illness that is cured, apart from, I suppose, the 10 lepers. If you only account the 10 lepers for one miracle, the healing of blind, and I think it's because of the beautiful picture it is for us, because we are all blind, spiritually speaking, because we're all dead, and we all come to Jesus to receive our sight so that we can see things for how they truly are, so that we can see God. You know, because we always come with all these weird mixed up ideas of who God is and what he's like. But we come to Jesus to receive our sight, every single one of us, so that we might see God. But here, we're not going to be sidetracked by spiritualizing this story, because we're dealing with physical blindness, getting a physical healing. And it is important that when we go through this series of looking at Jesus, and especially in regards to his healing ministry, it's easy to get sidetracked by the spiritualizing of it all, because the spiritual side of it is important, but we must never neglect the fact that this is physical healing. You know, I could make a great sermon based around what happened to Alice last week or the week before, but that doesn't take away from the fact that Alice received a very physical healing from Jesus, and how wonderful that is. So we mustn't spiritualize the blind man for tonight's sermon. But then we see that Jesus has compassion on the blind man. You see, I've already started saying the blind man. It wasn't that long ago I only realized that in Matthew there was two blind men. Jesus has compassion on them. And this is, you know, in direct contrast to what the crowd have for them. The crowd don't have any respect for these men. They don't hold them in regard. They're telling them to be quiet. And yet Jesus, the one who is the Son of David, who is the Messiah, he has time for these men. He hears these men. And he calls them over to him and say, "What can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And they say they want their sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Taddy has been reminding us maybe once or twice that this is all about Jesus. It's not about his healing. It's not about his power. It's about Jesus. And so it is here again. It's not about the fact that these blind men did receive their sight. But that's not what it's about. There was a display of the power of God on show, but that is not what it's about. It's a story about Jesus and who he is, and the fact that he touched these men's eyes. And everything else flowed from that. The power flowed from that. The healing flowed from that. And as a result, these men, now it doesn't mention here that they praised God, we can pretty much assume that Mark and Luke got it right when they said praise God, because I think when people receive their healing, they always would praise God. But these men praised God. But what all the accounts are sure about is that these men then followed Jesus. And as a result of the encounter with Jesus, these men followed him. I only want to bring out 2 points very quickly before we move on and allow God a time to move amongst us. I've only got a couple of minutes anyway. The first thing is the persistence of these men. I am a great believer, being a gardener, I'm a great believer in the seasons. But not just the physical seasons, in the spiritual seasons as well, and how things change in the spiritual life. And if you see it like this for these men sitting there, this was their season of opportunity. But it wasn't a very long season. Jesus was walking past them, leaving Jericho. They don't know when Jesus will next walk past them. He may never walk past them again. This is their season of opportunity. And I have experienced it in my life, certainly, where God has given me opportunities. And if they're not taken, they're not always given again. Or if they are given again, they may not be given again for a long time. Why that is, I don't know, because I'm not God. But what I know is that things can come in a season of opportunity. It certainly was for these men. And they received the opposition. And if they had listened to if they had listened to that crowd that said, be quiet, they would have been sitting there the rest of their lives blind. We must not miss the opportunity when it passes us by. Even though we receive lots of opposition, and we might receive physical opposition, people telling us, don't you be so daft, thinking that God's going to heal you, or don't you, you know, all that stuff in the Bible, that was all, you know, you have your little faith and that's fine, but don't be expecting miracles. Or maybe you have the voice in your head that says, you know, Gene, God's got more important people to worry about than you, you know? I certainly feel that in my life. I sometimes feel, you know, God, you've got the Middle East crisis. How could you be interested in what's going on there? But the point is that God is acutely interested in what is going on in Gene's life. He's acutely interested in what is going on in Tally's life, in Jimmy's life, in Alice's life, in Jill's life, in Peter's life, in everybody's life. Because God is God of compassion. Now you might think, well, you know, I'll maybe next week I'll call out. Can you imagine how stupid those men will? I know they were blind and they might have had an excuse. But do you imagine how stupid they would have been next week crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They could have cried all week. Jesus had long gone. Rather, I would encourage everyone to intensify their cry. To cry out to the Lord all the more. Because Jesus here, or in the face of Jesus here in this story, we see how that God is a God of compassion. That he's interested in everybody. Right from the youngest on to the oldest. For the women as much as the men. For the people standing up front as much as the guy at the back doing the music. He is interested in us all. He's a God of compassion. And in some respects, you know, I just wonder when Jesus was walking down that road, out of the corner of his eye, he saw the two blind men sitting there. Well, he was going, come on, call me. You know, that desire for them to call out. I earnestly think that God is waiting for us to cry out to him. Certainly as you read through the Old Testament and the message he gave through the prophets, he was so wanting to help Israel. Kept sending the messenger after messenger, please just turn to me and ask for me. you can see the compassion and the love. And so I believe that the Lord is, as if it is, were walking through tonight, hoping that we all call out to him. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us tonight. Because it's only as Jesus reaches out tonight. It's only as Jesus, as it were, touches us tonight. That there's any point in even talking about power or healing. It's about Jesus tonight. And about what he does. And about how he leads. And let me tell you, as if God does move, you'll hear Tally talking sometimes about, you know, in the ministries where people are touched and they all fall over. And there's maybe some sincerity and genuine occurrences of that, but there's also the idea that the people, you're touched, they fall over, they go out the door, they come back next week, they're touched, they fall over, and they walk out the door. These men, their lives were transformed by the touch of Jesus. Not only did they receive their sight, but they went away praising God, and they followed Jesus. That was the difference that Jesus made in their life. He gave them physical sight, and he gave them spiritual sight, so that they followed him as men made new. Well, I must finish now. I'll just finish because we were looking in the last series at who Jesus was, that he was the light of the world, that Jesus is the door, that he is the true vine, that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is the bread of life, that he is the good shepherd, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And can you imagine if that man and who he is, the Son of God, were to touch you tonight? Well, life will flow from him. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. And we want to thank you that your ministry hasn't ceased when you ascended to heaven, but rather you have... You say that it's better for us that you did return to heaven so that you could send your Spirit to work with us all, so that you can be working in Jerusalem as much as you're working in Bangor, and so that you can be working in America as much as you're working in China, Lord, that you can work everywhere all at once through the power of your Spirit. And so, Lord, we invite your Spirit to walk amongst us tonight. Lord, we want to intensify our cry to you. Lord, we're not crying out for you to give us what we deserve, but rather, Lord, we're crying out that you have mercy on us tonight. And Lord, we believe that you're waiting for our cry, that in some way or other you would reach out your hand tonight. And Lord, that the Lord of life would touch us. Amen.